Yeah, what's up, everybody? It is Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight, we preview AEW All Out, we recap SmackDown, and we're watching Rampage with you live. Let's go! Yo, what is happening, Big Johnny? How you doing, buddy?
Well, I thought SmackDown tonight was pretty good, so it always puts me in a better mood when SmackDown's actually pretty good. So let's hope the Rampage can also be pretty good tonight. Get a good night of wrestling for once.
Yeah. Hopefully Rampage is good. You like SmackDown. I'm happy that you like SmackDown. I'm glad you enjoyed SmackDown. I thought SmackDown was pretty good, too. Promo-heavy show, right? A lot of promos on this show. Not too much wrestling.
All matches, too.
Yeah, a couple of good matches. I mean, not great finishes to a couple of them, but the matches overall were pretty good. The wrestling was good. Roman Reigns and Finn Balor in the main event. Roman Reigns, of course, getting the victory, retaining the WWE Universal title, and still Universal Champion, choking out Finn Balor, winning via guillotine choke. The Roman guillotine choke put Finn Balor to sleep after Roman kicked out of the coup de grace double stomp from the top from Finn Balor. Roman kicks out and low blows Finn Balor at the same time, which led to him getting the victory and retaining the title. I thought that match was pretty good. I don't know about you, but I thought that was probably match of the night as far as a total package of a wrestling match that we got. I thought Seth and Cesaro were on their way to having match of the night until the finish, which was a, you know, disqualification. I didn't love it. I didn't love the way it ended. Not the worst finish of the night, but, you know, could have been a little better. But Roman Reigns and Finn Balor, I thought tonight delivered. I thought they were the best match of the night. And when you have the best match of the night in the main event, it's good for the TV show. It's good to send everybody home with a good feeling, with a good solid wrestling match, a good solid finish, you know, for a world title. Despite the fact that Finn, you know, got beat up before the match by the Usos and he was clutching his ribs and selling a rib injury during the match, it was still good. Even though you knew that Roman was going to win for sure, it was still good. I mean, you knew Roman was going to win, but then, you know, when the Usos beat Finn up before the match, you're like, well, Roman's really going to win now. They're not only teasing, like, Brock Lesnar. He's going to be on SmackDown next week. They're at Madison Square Garden in New York, so it's going to be a big SmackDown. Brock's going to appear. Edge is going to wrestle. So it's a big deal next Friday night. But they're telling you already, like, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, it's a thing building. Here's Finn Balor getting his title match on SmackDown. Well, okay, he's not going to win. And then the Usos beat Finn up before the match. It's like, well, he's really not going to win now. I just wish that they would make the Roman Reigns matches a little less obvious. You know, like the John Cena SummerSlam match. You were kind of thinking, yeah, Roman will probably win, but it's Cena. You never know. And then, you know, 2 days or the night before SummerSlam on SmackDown, they go, Roman says, if I lose, I'll leave WWE forever. And it's like, okay, well, you just told us you're winning. There's no way you're leaving WWE, right? So I just wish that they would make these Roman Reigns title matches a little less obvious as far as the finish. We already assume Roman's winning. Don't tell us what's going to happen before the match. It's a little, you know, it could be better. They could book that a little bit better. So there's a little bit of, you know, is it possible that Roman loses? Only complaint.
Well, with the Cena thing, I agree with you. But with Balor, I think it's actually better that they had him get beat up beforehand. So it's like, well, if this was an even playing field, maybe things would have been different. Because despite the fact that he got beat up, he still, like, brought it to, like, you know, almost winning. So I think Finn, in the end, they still made him look good by having him go the distance with Roman at least. So, like, they're kind of showing you Finn, despite losing, Like, if it was even, things probably would have been different. So at least they're kind of showing that they still kind of think about him in a sense. Like, if this was just straight up and he just lost like that, then you really think he has no chance whatsoever ever again. So at least he has something to go off of off this.
Yeah, it's an out, right? It's an out for Finn to kind of keep him strong, and it's like you lost to Roman, but the Usos beat him up before. I get it. It's what they do. Is that your match of the night too?
I think it's probably going to be the match of the night overall. I don't know if anything on Rampage can even top it. Because, I mean, I don't think they have anything main event level. Because that was main event level, that kind of match. It had that great back and forth. And, like, the crowd was really hot for it, too. It kind of hurts that
This Malakai
can't
Black
hear this.
Lee Johnson match is not bad. It's
It's
not
going
bad.
a lot longer than I thought, that's for sure. He's
Yeah.
actually taking Malachi to deep waters compared to anyone else who just gets squashed easily.
Yeah, this match is going a lot longer. Lee Johnson did a nice dive on the outside, but Malakai just kicked Lee Johnson in the face. Now he gives him a big boot. I think he's setting him up. This is a live episode of Rampage, by the way. They're live tonight. Next week, they'll start taping the Rampage shows on Wednesday nights when they do Dynamite. But tonight is live in Chicago, and they have their pay-per-view, of course, Sunday night in Chicago, which we'll get to. AEW All Out. Want to give a shout out to the members, of course, Franco316, Doug Hepburn. Franco wants to know how Orange Julep was. Yeah, we went to Orange Julep last night with Super Chat legend, member of the team Angelo Contagonis, and AJ from the show. It was good. Orange Julep is always good. Johnny didn't make the trip. Angelo wants to meet you, Johnny. So we'll have to make that happen. Shout out to Franco and Doug, members of the team. Don't forget to join right here. Join. Click beneath the video if you're watching on a desktop, or go to join.ringsidereport.net, become a member of the team. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel, do all the things. Hit us up on Super Chat and so on. You know, support the Ringside Report Network. Getting all sorts of messages, John. I don't know what's going on. Getting all sorts of different messages from different people. What is happening?
People actually watching Rampage? Because I know I saw more complaints about pe people unable to watch it in Canada.
Yeah, it's not even on TV. Right? It's not on TV at all. When is Rampage going to be on TV in Canada? Will it ever be on TV in Canada? Why do I have to watch this thing on my app, the TSN app on my phone? It's annoying. How come they can't have it on TV?
Think people have got to just keep complaining, complain long enough. Hard enough, sure they'll cave.
Yeah, maybe. Malakai Black just hit his big kick there on Lee Johnson. Looks like this match is over. Malakai beats
Took
Lee
long
Johnson.
enough.
Yeah, it was all right. Decent match. I still think Roman and Finn was probably better.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Roman Reigns stuff, of course, on SmackDown tonight. Might as well get that out of the way. The Street Profits wind up beating the Usos. Terrible finish to this match. Jey Uso was not the legal man. He saved his brother Jimmy from getting pinned by Montez Ford. Comes in the ring, just starts attacking Montez, throws him into one corner, throws him into the other corner, and the referee calls for a disqualification. Not good. It's not a good finish. Like, come on.
I made the complaint on Twitter that the last tag the Usos made wasn't even a legal tag because they didn't use the tag rope. But regardless, I mean, you know, they care about the rules and they don't care about the rules.
Yeah.
But
Just
still.
awful. Awful stuff. Terrible way to. I was like, that's a disqualification these days? That's what's going to count? I did not like that at all. Not a great match. I mean, it was fine, but the finish just completely ruined it. And then they brawled after the match, and Montez wound up taking the Usos down with a dive. And the Street Profits stood tall, and Roman Reigns was not happy about it. Told Paul Heyman, "Bring me my cousins." And then Heyman is backstage. His phone rings, and it's Brock Lesnar's theme song is his ringtone. And that's to indicate that Brock Lesnar is calling. Tell me, John, you know wrestlers. When they call you, do you have their theme songs as their ringtone for each wrestler that you know that calls you?
Which is kind of cool that you can do that, though. Like,
I
you
mean,
can have different, like, songs for different people that call you. So that's kind of awesome. Like, if he'd actually have Brock's song just for when Brock calls, that's kind of cool.
I mean, yeah, the technology has been there for a long time, John. I'm surprised that you are unaware of personalized ringtones, and that's just a new thing that you're discovering. What are you, AJ? What's going
Well,
on?
you made it sound like that, you know, that was just his ringtone, period. But I think it was because it was Brock calling.
Yeah, it's a personalized ringtone. But, like, who's going through the trouble of doing that? I know some people do it, but really? So, Heyman, when Brock Lesnar calls Paul Heyman, his theme song plays. Heyman tried to ignore the call, couldn't ignore the call, took the call, and heard Brock Lesnar, and he's like, all right, okay. And then Big E shows up in a janitor's outfit to surprise Heyman and just laughs like a maniac and holds the Money in the Bank briefcase. What is Big E right now? What the hell was that? That was terrible.
Well, it's not the first time he's done that before, though. He's done that where he just goes up to Heyman and he just laughs and he just shows the briefcase, kind of just showing the fact that he's going to cash in possibly at any time. Just that reminder that, you know, they don't have enough time to give him like a segment or a match.
Yeah.
But he's still around. So.
Yeah, but that's what they do with him. They have him just go out and laugh like a maniac, pal, and hold your briefcase. Like, that's how they remind you that Big E exists. That's his role right now. He dresses up like a janitor, scares Paul Heyman, and then laughs like a crazy person. Like, it's weird, isn't it? Does that make you like Big E more when you see him do that? It makes me like him less, and I like him a lot. I wish that they would have him talk or anything but what he did tonight. That was just like, what? It was not good.
I'm not saying it was great, but it's just a reminder. That's the way I look at it. They've done this throughout the whole show, if you think about it, where people just randomly just popped up in segments for like 2 or 3 seconds. Liv
yeah.
Morgan, Toni Storm, you know, they don't have enough time to give them actual like matches or real promos, but oh, we'll just put you here for a couple seconds and there you go. You got some TV time. Naomi, every week.
I didn't see Liv Morgan.
There you go. It was so fast.
What did she do?
They had Carmella do like a promo, like just promoting the fact that she's the like most beautiful woman in WWE. And then it pans over to Liv saying, really? And that's it.
I didn't even see that promo. I must have skipped it. Who cares? I don't
it's
think
okay.
It doesn't sound like anything I needed to see. I was a little behind on SmackDown. I started watching around 9, so I had to skip some stuff. Mostly commercials, I thought, but turns out I missed a Carmella promo. Saw everything else on this show, unfortunately. I did see Toni Storm talk to Dolph Ziggler backstage. Dolph Ziggler trying to pick up Toni Storm. Didn't seem to work. Toni Storm says she's rooting for Rick Boogs in the match tonight. I think she might be the only one. Rick Boogs getting the win over Dolph Ziggler after a pump handle slam gets the pinfall there. It was, you know, it started off all right, but
you're probably going to get mad if I say this, but I thought it was Caitlyn at first when it was Toni Storm. I don't know if you noticed that at first, like from the side.
The similar hair.
And, you know, the history with Ziggler. You know, I thought like, oh, this is going to be like a little thing they're bringing back or something, but
I have no recollection of her history with Dolph Ziggler. What's Goldust saying?
I can't tell. I'm on mute, so I can't tell you. But I think they're hype. They're going to have the match at the pay-per-view. We speculated about it. I think
Dynamite.
No?
Dynamite.
Dynamite,
Wednesday.
Wow.
Goldust versus Aleister Black on Dynamite next week. That's right. I
probably
still call
for
him
the
Goldust.
Best.
I don't care. I don't care. And he's also Aleister Black as well. I mean, come on. Let's be honest.
I find Malakai Black sounds better, but
Malakai. I mean, I'll probably get used to it at some point, but Malakai.
But it's,
all right,
it's
so it'll
better
be
to
Dustin
have that match,
versus
actually.
Yeah, Malakai doesn't get to work on pay-per-view.
No, but it's better to have it on Dynamite because the pay-per-view is already pretty stacked. Like, you don't need to have like a pay-per-view that goes well over 4 hours. Like, if it's 3, that's fine. It's probably going to go 3 in a bit, but
Yeah.
You don't want it to go to 4 hours.
I agree. Here comes Miro.
I like sleep.
The Redeemer. So Brock Lesnar is coming for Roman Reigns next week on SmackDown. Roman Reigns gets the message from Paul Heyman, and Roman's like, why is Brock coming on my show? And Heyman says, maybe Fox is big in Saskatchewan, because that's where Brock lives most of the time. And then Roman asks Heyman how he knows that Brock is in Saskatchewan, and Heyman's like, oh, I don't know. I have no communication with Brock. Maybe he's in Minnesota. And then Roman wonders if Brock is there tonight. And Roman seemed a little bit worried about Brock maybe showing up and attacking him. And even after the match with Finn Balor, as he's walking back, you saw him kind of like look around like, is Brock here? You know, like doing the little face there. Not bad. I mean, he got the point across, I suppose. Roman Brock next week. Does this mean they wrestle at Extreme Rules? Sorry, John, you were going to say something. I cut you off there.
Well, I just, you know, you're going back to the phone thing again. Like, he can't tell that he's calling from Saskatchewan. Like,
well, it's a Brock Lesnar cell phone, you would think. So it doesn't have an area code on it. It's a cell phone.
All right. Well, I just sometimes they say like the area. Like,
if I call you on my phone, you don't know where I am. If I call you from my cell phone, if I'm in Nova Scotia, you're going to see my area code and you'll think I'm in Montreal, but I'm not. Don't you understand how phones work, John? Are cell phones new technology for you tonight? I don't understand. The, like, personalized ringtone is a new concept. Area codes, for some reason, when you're out of town is a new concept. You know about these things, right, John? What's happening? What's happening tonight?
Well, it says when people call you, it says, like, the area they're calling you from sometimes, too. So, because you register that phone in that area, sometimes it pops up that
actual
area.
If it has the area code of that place that you're calling from.
Right?
What? So, what are you saying?
It can pop up. I'm just saying, like.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if I call you from my phone in China, it's still going to say my phone number. It's not going to say, oh, it's Dave's phone, but he's in China right now. It's not going to say that. That's not how phones work.
No, but it'll say you're calling long distance. That's definitely for sure.
I don't know about that.
I feel like it would.
I don't think it would, John. I don't think that's how it works. I'm about to go on vacation. I'll call you from vacation, and we'll see how that works. I'll be like, John, do you know where I'm calling
charges,
you from?
That's for sure.
There won't be charges, John. You really don't understand how phones work. Is nobody calling you? Are you just texting? What's happening?
Oh, well, that's what everyone does now. No one calls anymore.
Miro cuts a promo in the ring on Rampage, and then here comes Eddie Kingston. And he's wearing a DMX basketball jersey. Seems like a good promo. And he's talking about God, and he's being pretty disrespectful. I think Eddie Kingston is an atheist, and he's saying he doesn't believe in what Miro's saying. Bob Cote says Dave is right. I don't know what he's referring to, probably the phone thing. I agree with Bob. I am right. He's probably just saying about everything, which makes sense. Dave is right about everything, goddammit.
Well, he just seems angry, Miro. That's all I can tell.
Well, Miro's mad. Eddie's saying some things about him. Miro wants to fight him tonight. So is that it for the Roman Reigns stuff, like Usos and Finn Balor? And Roman and so on. That's what happened, right? And then Roman versus Brock next week. Like, what's going to happen? Brock Lesnar's going to be on the show, and they're going to have some sort of confrontation. And what? Do they wrestle at Extreme Rules? Do we see this match here? Because last week we were thinking maybe it would be a while till we see Brock, maybe October in Saudi Arabia. But now it's like, okay, well, he's going to be on SmackDown next week. I understand it's a big SmackDown there at Madison Square Garden, but do you think the match happens here in, 3 weeks? On the 26th in Columbus?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just feel they'll save Brock for bigger pay-per-views. again, if there's only eight matches, they're probably going to stretch out as long as they possibly can. I just don't see them using it right away. We're going to get the title match. I think they'll save that for Saudi Arabia. There's enough challengers, too, because like the winner of Edge, Seth Rollins, would make a lot of sense. And even with Finn, too, like Finn's got some justification for another match as well. So
yeah,
I can see a multi-man, I think, for Extreme Rules.
So what do you think? Does Brock just attack Roman and it's like, all right, we'll see you in a month and a half? That's it? That's kind of weak, man. I think if he comes back next week, they set up a match for Extreme Rules. I think they have to. If he's going to be on the show, like, they got to do something. I don't know. I hope they do. I hope it's not like a little confrontation and we're going to look at each other for a while. Does Brock hit an F5? Does Brock hit an F5 on anybody? I mean, probably the Usos, right? But does he hit anything on Roman? Does anything happen to Roman next week from Brock?
Well, I think Brock's going to cause a lot of chaos. Will be to Roman, I'm not too sure. I mean, maybe the Usos will take the F5s, possibly. I can see something like that go down. But here's another thing. Like, do you think Brock's going to be on TV every week? I don't think so.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I don't know. It could be just one-time appearance. We'll see next week from Brock Lesnar. AEW Rampage in commercial right now. Eddie Kingston put Miro down. Hit him with a spinning back fist and then dropped him with a DDT. Eddie Kingston and Miro had a little promo and then a brawl. And Kingston was up in the brawl. But I think come match time, Miro winds up winning. We'll give you our predictions and everything for AEW All Out in a minute. I just want to recap SmackDown here, rush through the rest of this show. Some of it was good. Some of it was not so good. I think the best part of the show, and you'll probably disagree with me, but I think the best part of the show was Logan Paul.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Becky. Yeah, no. I actually agree. I thought Logan Paul was really good. I thought Logan Paul, like, because unlike before, remember they tried to push him, like, as a face and, like, fans rejected it completely. Now he's completely heel. And I'm like, yes, this works. This is good.
Yeah. A lot of fake crowd noise, though, on SmackDown tonight, right? You notice that? You hear sounds
during the
Becky
crowd. Stuff, yes.
Yeah, Becky stuff, Andrew and the Logan Paul stuff. A lot of the in-ring promos, they were pumping in a lot of fake crowd noise. You could hear them booing and going crazy, and then you see the crowd, and it's like they're not doing any of those things.
Yeah.
It's really bad, man. Like, it's so obvious that it's fake crowd noise. It just makes the whole show seem fake, you know? It feels so fake when you're watching it. I hate that fake crowd noise that they're doing. They brought it over from the Thunderdome. They have a real crowd now, and they're still pumping in fake noise. It's really bad, man. They really can't do that because it's so obvious because you see the people. The visual of the people doesn't match up to the audio of the people. It's fucking crazy. Like, could you imagine if you saw me just sitting here like this and then you just heard a bunch of boos? Like, what? It doesn't make sense. I don't know why WWE keeps doing this. It's so obvious, the fake crowd noise. They need to stop.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't think they're going to stop. Mm. If anything, they're going to try to hide it even better. You know, it's do more pathetic. Like camera cuts or something to make it not so obvious.
It's pathetic. It's really pathetic. They can't get their audience to react the way they want to, so they're just going to fake the noise. It's really sad. AEW doesn't do that. You know, they don't do that.
Well, they censor the crowd sometimes when they swear too much.
Yeah, okay, well, it's a rowdy crowd. But, you know, there's no fake crowd noise when CM Punk made his return. You know what I mean? Like, that's what people like about AEW. It feels more real. It feels like a more real wrestling show. Feels like the wrestlers have more input on what they're doing. It feels far less produced than the WWE. It's got slick production, but WWE is, like, overproduced. And the fake crowd noise is just another example of the overproduction of the WWE. It's too glossy. It's got no grit to it anymore. And that's why Logan Paul is fun, because he's a real character. He's not a pro wrestler, but he's got like a gimmick like a pro wrestler, but it's real. He's having real boxing matches. His brother did beat Tyron Woodley on the weekend. Anybody that thinks that that was a controversial fight is out to lunch. Tyron Woodley got beat down in that fight. Kevin Owens hosts the Kevin Owens Show. He introduces Baron Corbin, who's now known as Happy Corbin. He's been Constable Corbin. He's been King Corbin. He is now known as Happy Corbin because he's very rich. I don't hate the name Happy Corbin. I kind of like the fact that he's had so many different first names just depending on what gimmick he's doing at the time. And at this point, he's a rich guy. And for some reason, they're calling him Happy. His name is Happy Corbin. Why do I like this?
I'm not sure. I'm very surprised. I didn't like Corbin that much whatsoever.
I like his
name. I thought...
And his promos have been good, man. You can't argue with the promos. The promos have been very good from Corbin. Very convincing sad guy. Very convincing asshole. Rich guy now. It's very good. Like, he's not bad as a character.
No, he's not bad as a character. It's just I found until tonight, nothing's really been that interesting. You know, thankfully, yeah. Logan Paul, I thought, brought this up quite a bit.
Logan Paul shows up. He's Corbin's special guest. Corbin knows that he owes Kevin Owens $100, and he's not going to give it to him, but his special guest might, Logan Paul. And Logan talks about how his brother beat Tyron Woodley on the weekend, and he was hanging out with Corbin. And Kevin Owens says that, you know, it sounds like the worst time ever, those guys watching the fight. Kevin's just being a hater. He's being mean to the Logan Paul. He calls Logan a useless piece of trash. Logan gives Kevin Owens $100 and says he looks like he could use it a lot more than him. It's pretty good. Kevin Owens like, I don't need your money. You better get out of my ring. And smacks the money out of Logan's hand, which prompts Logan to then give a steady push to Kevin Owens. Solid stuff. And then Kevin Owens pushes him right back, sends him flying across the ring. And then they look to square up like they're going to fight. Baron Corbin bonks Kevin Owens with the microphone, gives him a choke slam. And Happy Corbin and Logan Paul leave the ring triumphant as Kevin Owens is down and out. I liked it. I thought it was really good. Yeah, Doug Hepburn saying WWE actually followed through with the storyline and it's working with Corbin. Exactly. Exactly. It's working with King Corbin, Happy Corbin, Constable Corbin, whatever. It's working. And Logan Paul, the fact that he's shown up now as often as he has on SmackDown makes me wonder, like, is he going to wrestle? Is he going to be a frequent character in WWE? Because if he is, good for them. And also, Sami Zayn totally got screwed, because I feel like Sami Zayn went out there and made the Logan Paul thing happen on his own. He was doing that whole conspiracy thing. I think he legit reached out to Logan Paul on Twitter. Logan Paul noticed, and a deal was done with WWE, and now Sami Zayn is like nowhere involved in the Logan Paul thing. Kevin Owens still is, but I feel like Sami Zayn like brought that whole thing together, and now he's wrestling Dominic Mysterio. But hey, that's wrestling sometimes. That's the WWE. But I like Logan Paul as a wrestling character. His promos seem legit. And I'll tell you, it was Kevin Owens was really saying some mean things to Logan Paul, calling him useless, being very dismissive of him. It felt real from Kevin Owens. It was good stuff. It felt real from Logan Paul. It was solid. I feel like there's real animosity between those two. But Kevin better be careful. To be honest, like I think Logan Paul would kick the shit out of him somehow. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Paul brothers are somewhat legitimate. I told you last week that Jake Paul was going to beat Tyron Woodley, John. You were surprised. I told you it was going to happen. Easy peasy. That wasn't hard.
Well, split decision. Some people will debate it with you.
Oh, no one will debate it with me, John. Are you kidding? Find me somebody to debate that result with me. Split decision. That one judge who scored it for Tyron Woodley is the only person in the world that thought Tyron Woodley won that fight. Get the fuck out of here, man. Even AJ, who's the most biased guy ever, who was saying Tyron Woodley was going to knock out Jake Paul before the fight, even he said that for sure Jake Paul won that fight. And AJ never, ever admits defeat. Never, especially when I pick the other way. AJ will never tell you that his guy lost a decision, even though he did. But in this instance, even AJ had to admit that Woodley lost that fight. Woodley needs to give up. I cannot believe that a judge scored that fight for Tyron Woodley. That's a joke. You can't argue with me, John. You didn't see the fight, and I'm telling you, nobody in their right mind thought Jake Paul lost. He won big time. And I think Logan Paul would probably beat up Kevin Owens. Logan Paul's got some good hands, and he's big, too. He's bigger than Kevin.
Well, this is about a wrestling match, and like, I don't know if we're going to get that anytime soon, to be honest. I think it's just let this fit in his schedule that he's make it. I think if they're going to actually have him for like a big kind of pay-per-view, it would have to be like a Survivor Series Royal Rumble kind of thing. So I don't think you're just going to have him at like Extreme Rules or anything like that. I think it's just this worked out. That's about it. It'd be cool if we see him next week, Madison Square Garden, but I wouldn't expect it because they seem like they stacked it pretty big already.
Yeah, like they don't need him next week, right? They don't really need him. They have a lot going on for the SmackDown next week. They announced a bunch of stuff. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair is official for Extreme Rules. They're going to do a contract signing on SmackDown. Brock Lesnar is going to be on SmackDown. Edge is going to wrestle against Seth Rollins on SmackDown. So they've really stacked it pretty heavy for the SmackDown next week. Cesaro beats Seth Rollins by disqualification when Seth blocks a European uppercut with a steel chair. Seth attacks Cesaro with the chair after the match, beating him mercilessly. Did the Edge crossface thing with the bar of the chair through Cesaro's teeth. Curb stomps Cesaro and then goes to set up a concerto. And that's when Edge decides to make the save. Where was he when the chair started coming out? Like, what took him so long? Cesaro took like four finishers before Edge came out. It was like a 10-minute beatdown after the match. Why did Edge choose that spot to come out and run into the ring with a chair, and then Seth just kind of walked away, and that was it? A little late for the babyface save from Edge, right? Like, goddamn, man. How about you come during the crossface with the chair rod instead of after he takes a curb stomp? No love for Cesaro.
Well, I'm just going to try to justify this in the sense where it's
you
like...
You can't, man. Come on. Just agree with me. Why are you justifying it? Sometimes you can agree with me, John. It's okay. It was crazy, right?
I agree
right?
with you once already so far. That's too much already. Oh, so.
But don't you think he should have come out earlier?
No, honestly. Like, you know, you get beat up, it happens. That's what happens in the ring, you know? Like, you're going to get hurt sometimes. But it's when Seth went too far with trying to do Edge's own thing.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Taking it too far.
He already now did Edge's like, own no. thing with the chair in the mouth. He did that already. And he was doing Edge moves during the match, John. Bullshit. Well, just
he
agree
did
with
one
me.
Too many.
Just agree with
he
me.
He did one too many.
No. You one
that
too
was
many.
It. He crossed the
you're
line with that
ridiculous.
Last one.
You're fucking ridiculous. Well, Edge is a dick because he didn't want to help Cesaro at all. Edge is a total dick. Well,
when were they friends? I don't remember them being friends.
Fellow baby faces. What about doing what's right?
Oh, Edge said he went to that dark place. Like, he's not the same guy anymore, so.
Hey, Pac versus Andrade is not on the pay-per-view, but it's going to be on Dynamite next week. So that's good news.
Well, whatever restrictions I guess he has, I guess will be fixed after Sunday, sadly, so.
Yeah, well, that's all
but
right.
But again, it's better. Like, the pay-per-view is not going to be as long, so it's fine. You still get the match, so it works for
100%,
me.
100%. Elsewhere on SmackDown tonight, before we get to AEW All Out, we'll do the preview here in a couple minutes. Becky Lynch did a promo. Lots of cheers, some boos for Becky. She says her return saved Bianca's match at SummerSlam. The powers that be called the biggest name they could when Sasha went out, and they got the man. Becky says Bianca wasn't ready for the match, but she was, and that's too bad. Becky also says Bianca pretends to think she's the best, but we know that's a lie. That was a good line. Bianca pretends to think she's the best. She pretends. She puts on an act. Like, yeah, I'm the best. But deep down, she knows she's not the best. And when Bianca came out to do her promo, it was, you know, okay. But it wasn't as good as Becky's promo. Becky's just so relaxed. She takes her time. Bianca needs to relax a little bit. Like, she comes out and she feels like she's rushing through some things. She's got a lot to say. She's got a lot of little catchphrases. I don't know. It didn't quite work. She looked amazing. She looked very shiny when she came out. Like, everything was shiny. Bianca looked really cool, but the promo was like, it was all right. It was all right. But Becky, like, she kind of laid out how it's supposed to be done. And then Bianca came out and finished it up, but it wasn't really on par with what Becky delivered. I thought Becky's promo was masterful. Again, she's fantastic.
Well, just a correction on the Andrade and Pac match. Apparently it's going to be on Rampage, not Dynamite.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I just saw the graphic.
Oh, I thought they said Dynamite. It said Rampage next week?
Yeah, because okay. Dynamite, they're going to have Malakai Black and Dustin, right? But then the graphic changed.
Oh, okay.
For Rampage, though.
So. CM Punk's coming out.
Show. You blink, you miss.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot going on in AEW. CM Punk is coming out now, doing an entrance. He's going to be on commentary, and he's just jumping in the crowd, soaking it all in his hometown. Couple days before his return match against Darby Allin. What'd you think of the Becky Bianca promo?
Yeah, I thought it was better than last week with Becky's promo. The only thing that I thought was kind of off-putting was the fact that you could tell they were changing the audio for the crowd, because I don't think they liked the fact that the crowd seemed like they were booing Bianca, and I think they wanted to make sure that didn't happen, so. But you could tell, and it was like kind of annoying when that happens.
Yeah, it kills it kills the promo a little bit. It takes you out of it. You know, you're like, what? Why can't we just hear genuine reactions? It's not good. And they'll probably do it when they're in Madison Square Garden next week. You know, New York is a serious crowd. Madison Square Garden next week, they're not gonna be letting those fans be heard on their show. It's going to be a lot of fake audio going on next week. Disappointing.
I don't know about you, but I feel like they do way too many contract signings. It feels like almost every women's title match is a contract signing now.
Yeah.
And Roman. There's a lot of contracts, especially on SmackDown for whatever reason. There's a lot.
It's just what they do. They're like, oh, we need a segment to promote the match. Let's do a contract signing. I don't know. It's just what they do. I can't explain it. I agree, 100%. See, John, it's easy. I agree with you. They do too many contract signings. They do too much of the same all over the place. Too much of the same all the time. I mean, we saw many disqualification finishes tonight? Two?
I think two.
That's too much. You can do one, I don't know, but you can't do more than one. You can't do two disqualification finishes. That's not good. They do too much of the same on SmackDown. Sami Zayn beat Dominic Mysterio after hitting his Haluva kick. Sami went to leave the match. Rey Mysterio comes out. Sami's like, uh-oh, I'm better go back to the ring. Takes a dive from Dominic Mysterio. Dominic tells his dad that he's got this. And then he walks right into the ring, eats Sami's kick. 1, 2, 3, Dominic loses. Rey causing the distraction. If Rey doesn't show up, Dominic probably wins by count out, right? Instead, Dominic loses. Nice dive, though, on Sammy. That was pretty cool. Over the ref. It was nice.
Well, I think that's the best thing to do with Dominic. Like, just keep it short and simple. I think if you keep him in there too long to make commercial breaks, I don't know if he gets tired or something, or it kind of shows a lot more that, you know, he's not really ready to wrestle like one-on-one that much. So I think this was the best way to do it. Just keep it simple, short, and, you know, focus more on the storytelling than his sloppy wrestling.
Yeah, and it was a very short match. There wasn't much to it, and Sami Zayn worked him through it. Sami Zayn knows what he's doing. He's just there, Sammy. He's not, like, involved in much. He's just kind of on TV to do matches when he's needed. Like, he's got no storyline, barely gets to talk, never gets to talk anymore. They used to have a whole character with this guy. Lately, it's like, eh. When we need him for a match, when you need a good hand, you know, we use Sami Zayn. It's too bad. He can talk, you know? I don't know why they don't use him.
Oh, I feel they're building him up to face Nakamura for the title. I thought that's what they were doing by giving him these wins.
Yeah, maybe. Nakamura, of course, is the Intercontinental Champion, but he just seems like the backup for Rick Boogs these days. Rick Boogs beats Dolph Ziggler tonight, and Nakamura's in his corner. It seems like they're pushing Boogs more than Nakamura. And it's increased since Nakamura won the Intercontinental title, which is weird.
Well, it's kind of, it's a weird analogy, but like, just it's Diesel and Shawn in a sense where, you know, Shawn was supposed to be the star, but it seemed like they focused more on Diesel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. Rick Boogs is Nakamura's Diesel. Speaking of Shawn and Diesel, AJ and Omos will be in action on Raw Monday, if you are to believe what they told us tonight about Raw Monday, which, you know, could all be lies. But there's supposed to be a tag team turmoil match on Raw Monday night featuring AJ, Omos, the Viking Raiders, New Day, Mustafa and Mansoor, the Lucha House Party, Mace and T-Bar, Jinder and Veer Venus, with the winners facing RK-Bro, I think later that night, for the Raw Tag Team titles. Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax in a rematch, this one for the title. Nia won on Monday. They will do it again Monday night for the Raw Women's title, according to the WWE and what they told us tonight. But as we know, WWE often announces matches and then just doesn't do them. I don't know if you watched our Raw recap show on Monday night, John, but we discovered that the WWE had announced 3 matches to take place on Raw. You know, last week they were supposed to take place this week on Raw. None of them took place. Eva Marie and Doudrop never actually happened. Sheamus versus Bobby Lashley was announced. They just completely forgot about that and put those two guys in 2 different matches altogether. And John Morrison was supposed to wrestle The Miz, but The Miz wasn't on Raw. According to, I think, Pro Wrestling Insider or maybe Meltzer, I don't know, somebody reported it. I saw it online that Miz is doing Dancing with the Stars, and that's why he wasn't on Raw.
Oh, like, I don't really care, like, whatever the Miz is doing. Like, if he's not on TV, it's for the best.
But, like, if you're WWE, right, you book The Miz for Raw match, and he's like, oh, I can't, I gotta be Dancing with the Stars. Don't you tell The Miz, like, well, no, man, you gotta work for us. It's wrestling first. Isn't that how WWE usually works?
No, now it's like,
go do the Hollywood thing?
Yeah, of course.
It's more important?
That's better for us, yeah. That's good publicity.
I guess Miz on Dancing with the Stars is better for WWE than having him wrestle on Raw, right? I mean, he gives publicity to the WWE to a new audience, and the WWE's audience doesn't have to watch him wrestle. So it's really win-win. Super chat.
I'm not going to disagree with that whatsoever.
Angelo Contagones dropping a super chat. Always doing it big. He says, hey, just stopping by to say hi. Doing Uber tonight. If I don't come on again tonight, have a safe vacation, Dave. It was also a pleasure to meet you and AJ last night. The pleasure was ours, Angelo, to meet a loyal member of the Ringside Report Network, a great guy, Angelo Contagonis. It was great to finally meet him in person. Had an orange julep. It was Angelo's first time at Orange Julep, so it was very cool to enjoy that with him last night in the parking lot with AJ. AJ going on and on as he does. And yeah, I'm going on vacation. If you didn't know, I'm going on vacation. We'll be gone for the next, I don't know, week or so. We'll be back in, when did I say? The 17th? The 17th, right?
The 17th.
We'll be back on the 17th. It's really not that long. We're just gone for a week. Next week, we're gone. And then we'll be back the following week on the 17th. I think that's our return show, too. It'll be on a Friday night. 2 weeks from tonight is when we return from vacation. I'm going to Nova Scotia. If you're in the Maritimes and you want to say hi, I'm coming through. So get ready. I'm coming. September 17th, we will be back here on the Ringside Report Network for Wrestling Uncensored. And that's when our next show will be after tonight. So I'm not going to be doing a post-all-out show, which pains me. I'll tell you guys, it pains me. I want to do a post-all-out show, but, you know, I'll be on vacation, so sometimes these things happen. Raw and SmackDown in Madison Square Garden, all out. I mean, it's a hell of a week in pro wrestling, but I had to take a vacation at some point. You know I'm going to miss something at some time. But follow me on Twitter for my thoughts, because I'll definitely find a way to watch All Out. And if you follow me at Dave Simon MMA, I'll be putting a couple things out there probably over the vacation. And that was SmackDown tonight, John. It was, okay. It was okay. Some decent promos. The Logan Paul promo, the Becky Lynch promo. It's good stuff. Roman Reigns match, Cesaro and Seth Rollins match. Solid. You know? Not the best. Not the worst. It was good. I'm good with it.
Well, just an improvement over the last couple of weeks where I thought it wasn't a very good show. Like, it just showed, like, they can put on a good show. Just, you know, have some matches that are entertaining. Some promos that actually have some action to it. You know, the shows are actually okay. And I think have a main event, you're actually going to care about somewhat.
Well, I mean, we saw some things tonight that we haven't been seeing over the past couple of months on SmackDown, right? We saw Becky Lynch cut a promo, and she's one of the best in the business, and now she's back, and she's cutting good promos and doing the damn thing, setting up matches, right? You have Logan Paul, who's one of the biggest celebrities in the world, whose brother just had the biggest fight in the world on the weekend against Tyron Woodley, right? Logan Paul is a major star, so to have him on the show is huge. And you had Roman Reigns in the ring, which I don't think has happened since before Hell in a Cell, when he wrestled Rey inside the Hell in a Cell. When's the last time Roman actually had a one-on-one match for the Universal title on SmackDown? This guy barely wrestles on TV. He wrestles on pay-per-view. He cuts promos on TV. Is the last time we saw Roman in the ring on SmackDown for a one-on-one against Rey back before Hell in a Cell? I feel like it is, right? Am I right about that, John? You're usually better at memory than I am.
For one-on-one, yes. Like, he did wrestle, I think, the week when they brought fans back. That was a six-man tag.
Yeah, with the Usos.
So that match with Rey was the first one-on-one match in a long time.
That's something. So that's, you know, when you put those three elements on the show, like, no shit, it's a better than average show, right? Becky Lynch promo, Logan Paul, and Roman Reigns in the ring. For the title. I mean, that's a recipe for a good wrestling show. I like Logan Paul, too. I'm starting to like these Paul brothers. They're over, man. They're over in everything. They're over in MMA. They're over in boxing. They're over in pro wrestling now. These guys are everywhere. They're taking over combat sports. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, you did say you don't think Jake's going to be able to beat Connor, though, if that happens.
What? Did I say that? When did I say that?
You said that, I'm pretty sure, right after he beat Woodley.
No, I don't think I said that. I think Jake will probably fight Connor, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does beat Connor. I think he could beat Connor. Jake is a 190-pounder. He's so much bigger than Conor McGregor. Tyron Woodley looks smaller than Jake Paul, right? Tyron Woodley fought at 170 in the UFC. Conor McGregor fights at 155. Conor's so much smaller than Jake Paul. It's a crazy fight. I don't know if Conor beats Jake Paul. Conor is not in his prime anymore. Honestly, if they do that fight in a boxing match, I could see Jake Paul winning. Conor has a chance. He's got a killer left hand. He's a good striker, but I think Anderson Silva would give more problems to Jake Paul just because of the size. But Conor is, like, way undersized to fight that guy. Way undersized. Those guys are, well, that's, they're legit now.
That's not confirmed that that's even happened. That's, you guys were speculating that was going to happen. So
yeah, I hope it does. I think down the road it's going to. I believe it will happen down the road. I don't know when, but I think Conor McGregor is on his way out of the UFC. Apparently, he's only got two fights left on his contract, and I could see those being the last two on his UFC deal because I don't think he's ever going to reach championship level in the UFC ever again. But that's another story for a different day, Johnny North. Let's talk about AEW. Right now, Darby Allin is wrestling Daniel Garcia. It is the main event of Rampage. CM Punk and Chris Jericho are on commentary right now. I wish I could hear what they were saying. I'm sure they're doing really, really good stuff. Two of the best talkers in the history of the wrestling business. Two of the biggest stars in the business. Two guys that wrestled each other at WrestleMania. Chris Jericho and CM Punk. A WrestleMania classic. An underrated classic from WrestleMania, CM Punk and Chris Jericho. Very good match. Both guys wrestling this weekend at AEW All Out in Chicago. Let's start with CM Punk versus Darby Allin, John. I think that's the easy one.
The true main event?
Is it the main event? I think Kenny and Christian is the main event. That closes the show.
For most people are watching, I think, this pay-per-view for the CM Punk match.
Well, I'm watching the pay-per-view for Bryan Danielson to show up.
Well, Meltzer's on your side now, so you might get your way.
He's on my side?
He thinks it's going to happen. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen now. So. Everybody thinks it's going to happen. The word is, it's happening.
The question now is, where in the show?
Well, you know how I would do it.
It would end the show.
It would end the show. If I'm booking it here, I would put Daniel Bryan at the end of the show. After Kenny Omega beats Christian, Daniel Bryan comes out and maybe gets in Kenny's face and takes the title from Kenny Omega as soon as possible. And then he's a champion, and then he never drops the belt ever, and he's champion forever. That's how I would book it, John. Champion till he retires.
I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Well, I really think that Daniel Bryan should come out and say, look, you know, I'm not taking a back seat anymore. I'm here to be the number one guy. There's a lot of guys out there calling themselves best in the world. Well, I am the real best in the world, and they always have been. And I'm going to show it by taking the title away from Kenny Omega, and then I'm going to beat everybody else here in AEW. And I also think that Daniel Bryan would be pretty good with that Dan Lambert. I think Daniel Bryan with Dan Lambert would be fantastic. You see, you know, Bryan Danielson with Dan Lambert. Lambert talking about how legitimate Bryan Danielson is. And Bryan Danielson with, like, a mean edge to him. Heel Bryan Danielson just running roughshod over the whole company. Beating up Sting. Beating up CM Punk. Beating up everybody. Taking the belt from Kenny Omega and then just taking over. That's what I would like to see. You think Bryan Danielson is going to be a babyface? And maybe he does start off as a babyface, but once he becomes champion, heels out on everybody. Takes out Moxley. Takes out everybody. All the top babyfaces come up and go down to Daniel Bryan. Maybe at some point Hangman beats him. Maybe. And then Kenny could beat Hangman, take the belt back from Hangman. And then it's like, well, Hangman can't beat Kenny Omega. Bryan Danielson, you know, Hangman, I think it would be interesting if Danielson takes a belt from Kenny, and then Hangman down the road takes a belt from Danielson, and then Kenny takes a belt right back from Hangman, just showing you that Hangman just can't ever beat Kenny. I think that would be good. I think there's a lot of things they could do with Bryan Danielson in the company, but, you know, wrestling kind of MJF or something as a babyface is not really where I want to see him. I want to see him on top, wrestling the top guys right away, winning matches, and being used as one of the top stars in the company. I don't want to see CM Punk booked stronger than Daniel Bryan in AEW. I don't think that makes sense. Book him on top, John. That's how I would always book Bryan Danielson, but that's me. I'm his biggest fan.
Thing is about over CM Punk, though, like, I can understand your preference in terms of the wrestling. I get that. But in terms of the popularity right now, Punk is on a huge high right now. Like, again, because he's been gone for so long.
Yeah.
I think people want to ride that high for quite a while now. Where Daniel Bryan, it's only been a couple of months. So, I mean, yeah, people like to see him and cool matches and all that, but I don't think it's going to have the same kind of impact that Punk is having right now. And
give
again,
it 6 months.
Has to make him face.
Give it six
yeah,
months.
Give him 6 months, sure.
Give it 6 months. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Long-term, Bryan Danielson is going to be a bigger impact player for AEW than CM Punk. Long-term, he's going to be better for the company because of the matches he's going to have. Wait till you see the first three matches of Bryan Danielson and then the first three matches of CM Punk. Compare them. Compare them in AEW. Just wait. Just wait until Bryan Danielson is unleashed on AEW. I would like to see him come out and attack Kenny and start a program with the world champion right away. I don't know if that's going to go down, but that's how I would do it. End of the show, Bryan Danielson comes out. Kenny wins. He's the heel. I think Kenny and Christian are going to have a great match. Kenny will win. He will retain the AEW championship. You don't necessarily want to have the last moment of the night with a heel on top. So you have Bryan Danielson debut as a babyface to confront Kenny Omega, and then you're off and running Kenny versus Bryan. That's how I would do it, John. How would you do it?
Well, I try to get it as early as possible, get people talking about the pay-per-view right away. So more people, if people aren't checking it out, they check it out as quickly as possible if they heard about that. But that is a problem because like, it suits the best.
You can't buy it once it's on. It's over. You're not going to start buying the pay-per-view once it's on.
More people would be trying to check out, you know, AEW. They'd look it up more on Twitter. It'd be more of that. It'd just get more popular. Like, you can try to get that. But again, like, where does it fit? Obviously, I think it fits best in that world title picture. But you're not going to put the world title on that early. That's the problem. When you think about it in terms of matches where you put it, it's really got to be that match. I don't know if you want him to come out after CM Punk's match. I don't think that makes any sense, really.
No, you got to do it at the end. It's got to be at the end. You don't do it at the beginning. What are you going to do at the beginning? Like, okay, you're talking about where to place it on the show, but you're still not telling me what he's actually doing. I think the end against Kenny makes more sense than anything else.
I don't know about you. I'm not expecting a promo or anything. I'm expecting more of just like a stare down or something. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe point at a title.
Right.
That's about it.
With Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny's the guy that makes a lot of sense. I get
you. Why won't you give that to me? Come on. Kenny at the end, right? Who else? What else do you do with this guy? There's nobody else that makes sense on the roster.
Well, it's just the matches wise. Like, there's no one else in like another kind of match you could put him in. At this point, it's too hard because, like, you know, him against Malachi Black would be pretty good, but again, they just started Malachi
Yeah.
Black, so
No.
it's too early for that. It's too
He's
early for
not.
Andrade.
No, none of those guys are on his level. Bryan Danielson is like top level. He main evented WrestleMania this year with Roman Reigns and Edge. I mean, come on. He's one of the biggest stars in the business. You're looking at the pecking order of AEW, it's Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Kenny Omega, everybody else. That's how it is.
Well, once he shows up, then you can actually add him to that list, and we'll see what happens with him too. Like, is he going to wrestle every week, or is he going to wrestle every so often? You know,
Yeah, well,
a lot
he's
of
not going to
questions.
wrestle every week, I don't think, but knowing Bryan
Well,
Danielson, he probably wants to.
if you're going to get title shot, you better start wrestling every week. That's what Christian had to do.
We'll see. We'll see what happens there with Brian. But I expect him to show up at All Out. I believe that he will show up, and I hope he confronts Kenny and starts something there right on top, right away. That's where he belongs. Kenny beats Christian, though, right, John? And CM Punk will beat Darby Allin. CM Punk, go to sleep, middle of the ring, one, two, three. I think that's how you finish it.
I think Kenny's more of a lock than CM Punk is. I mean, I still definitely think Punk's going to win, but I'd lean more towards Kenny. I think is almost more for sure bet than CM Punk winning.
I think it would be complete failure on AEW's part to have CM Punk lose his first match in the company. That's not how you build a star. Come on now. You really don't think that's a lock? I'd say that's a guarantee. Come on. Punk's going to beat Darby. They'd be stupid to
Yeah,
have
he's gonna
Darby
beat
win
him.
now. Come on. Really?
Well, we've seen stupid things before. That's why I wouldn't
Not that
count that
stupid.
out. But
Not that stupid. Not from AEW. That's like really stupid. That's a no-brainer. You have Punk win.
it should be. But again, crazy things happen in wrestling, so I
All right,
wouldn't count
John.
that out.
All right, Johnny. All right, Johnny. How about Britt Baker
I'm guessing
versus what?
you're watching the Countdown show. It's
No?
actually airing right after
Why
Rampage.
would I watch that? Stop promoting other shows but ours, John. I saw Rampage. I don't need to see the Countdown show. It's just promos and shit. God damn it, John.
Well, we were doing a watch along. Like, it's you can still kind of watch along in a sense.
No. We're gonna watch promos? I'm not doing that. Darby got the win over that guy in the main event. What's that guy's name? Daniel
Daniel
Garcia?
Garcia.
Danny Garcia. The Rock's ex-wife? Danny Garcia? Right? The Rock was married to a woman named Danny Garcia. They have a daughter. She wrestles in NXT. Britt Baker is going to wrestle Chris Statlander. Britt Baker defending her AEW Women's Championship. She's going to win. I think the only question is, does Adam Cole show up?
Yeah, that's a bigger question. I don't think he will show up, but yeah, I think Britt's gonna win. She has like so much backup too to win this match. Like, it's a little unfair, but they still book her as a heel, so it's fine, I guess.
Do you think Adam Cole shows up in AEW on this pay-per-view?
I think it's too much. Like, if you have Daniel Bryan, like, do you really need Adam Cole showing up in the show too? Like, people are going to forget about him if he shows up.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I agree with you there. I don't think he's going to be there. Franco316 likes my shirt. Thank you. I got it for $5 at Walmart. Pretty good deal, let me tell you.
Just something to mention, by the way.
What?
I don't know if you notice, almost every pay-per-view, they try to do this. Like, they have like a debut, pretty much the Dynamite right after the pay-per-view. You saw it with FTR, Andrade. So, you know, if there's going to be a big debut, whatever, you may have to wait till Wednesday.
Adam Cole, baby. That makes sense. That makes sense. Doug Hepburn wonders what music Brian will use. I think it's got to be the Final Countdown by Europe, right? That was his Brian Danielson music. That's got to be his music. I don't think the Flight of the Valkyrie from WWE, that song is... that's not the song. That's not the song for Brian Danielson. That's Daniel Bryan. That character's dead and gone. We're going back to Brian Danielson. We're going back to basics. We're going back to the Final Countdown. I hope AEW can license that song and get that as his theme song. I think you have to. As a Brian Danielson fan, that would be my preference. I don't know about you, John. I don't know if you have a preference. Final Countdown, Flight of the Valkyrie.
Well, I think Final Countdown's a better song. So, yeah, I mean, and again, it's AEW, so they love to do sing-along. So, yeah.
Yes.
That fits better.
Absolutely epic intros for Brian Danielson in Ring of Honor to the Final Countdown with the crowd singing. And he hits the ring, and they go, it's the Final Countdown. And he's, like, standing there with the streamers going. Fucking epic Brian Danielson shit. I love that guy. I cannot wait to see him in AEW. Cannot wait to see Brian Danielson. Young Bucks defending the AEW tag team titles against the Lucha Brothers, Penta El Zero Miedo, and Rey Fénix. In a steel cage. Should be excellent. This could be the match of the night. I don't know what will be the match of the night. We have a lot of really good matches here set up from AEW. Kenny and Christian. Punk and Darby could be amazing. The Bucks against the Lucha Brothers. A lot of matches here could absolutely steal the show. Miro and Eddie Kingston. I mean, who knows what that's going to be? That's going to be violent, I think. I look forward to that. But how about the Bucks and the Lucha Brothers? I think the Bucks retain. I think you got to keep the Super Elite going. You got to keep them strong. You got to keep the tag team titles on them right now. On the other hand, the Lucha Brothers have been a strong tag team in AEW for a while. They've never been tag team champions. The belts would help them. They would establish them as a more important team in AEW than they currently are. Right now, they're a good team, but they're just kind of part of the crowd. The Young Bucks, they are the team in AEW. And I think that even if they lose the tag team titles because of their status in the company, they would still be the team in AEW. I don't think it would be a bad move to put the titles on the Lucha Brothers. But I think it would be a better move to keep the titles on the Young Bucks because they're just on a roll right now. The whole group is kind of rolling and they're really working as heels. I think keeping the belts on them is a better heel move right now for the Bucks. They cheat to win. Brandon Cutler, Nakazawa, people help, and they win. That's how I see it going. But I could see it going either way. I'm very interested in the finish of this match. Like, Punk and Darby, I'm pretty sure Punk's going to win. Pretty sure Kenny beats Christian. Pretty sure Britt beats Statlander. But I could see the Bucks dropping the tag titles here. This is an interesting match, but I'm picking the Bucks to win. What do you think?
Well, we've been pretty much the same. So this one will go a bit different because it does feel like a 50-50 kind of thing. And when I look at the rest of the card, I don't see a title change. So I think this is the only match where you'll see a title change.
That is true. I don't see a title change in any other of these matches. You might be right. This could be the one title change on the show. I don't know. I look forward to it. I think it'll be great. What do you think would be the best match on the card? What do you think steals the show? Kenny and Christian?
It's tough. It's tough because, well, Kenny and Christian, I think you know how good that's going to be. I mean, maybe it'll exceed those expectations, but
yeah.
After seeing their first match, like, I have a rough idea of what it's going to be. I mean, it'll be good.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's about it. Like, it won't be, like, the most incredible match in the world, but could be surprised. Wait and see.
Yeah.
The cage match is the match I'm kind of looking at to be the match tonight, to be honest.
Yep.
Just because of what they could potentially do.
Yeah. I think Miro and Eddie Kingston could be a dark horse for match of the night. I don't believe Eddie Kingston will win, but I think the match could be good. I like Miro, and I think Eddie Kingston's going to bring an interesting style to this match. It's a good matchup. It's a fun little match for the AEW TNT title. I think Miro wins, but I think this match will be good. They haven't done a huge build to this match, but what they've done has been enough. The promo, from what I heard tonight, was pretty good, but I didn't get everything there from Miro and Eddie. But I like this match. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good. I like Eddie Kingston as an opponent for Miro. He's working.
Yeah, it's good. It's just, you know, Miro's going to win, so it takes away a little bit of that. It almost feels like this match didn't need to be on the pay-per-view, but, you know, they make Miro matches into a big deal, so I understand why they put it on there. It's just they need to build up more, like, opponents for him that can really give him, like, a good challenge.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Kingston is not a guy that's believable to beat him right now. I don't know who that's going to be down the road. I think Miro right now stays strong as TNT champion for a little while. I think they build Miro up to be a future world champion in the company. I think Miro's going to be a big, big star in AEW. I like this, the Redeemer character he's doing. It's good. Does Lana join him?
I don't know. Did her 90 days no compete expire yet? I'm not sure. I have no idea.
Okay. I think it would be good to have her in his corner. I think she'd work as his manager. It's worked before. I think it would work again. Chris Jericho versus MJF. If Jericho loses, he must retire from in-ring competition. MJF has beat Jericho now 3 times. I think this is where Jericho gets it back. Judas Effect. You know, they had their one-on-one match. Jericho wasn't allowed to use the Judas Effect, and it cost him. I think this time he'll be allowed to use it. He will use it. He will hit that elbow, and MJF will go down 1, 2, 3. Jericho's not retiring. Not yet. I hope not, anyways. I will cry if Jericho retires. I'll be very sad.
Well, I'm expecting a bunch of interference in this match. I expect the Inner Circle, Pinnacle, pretty much all the members to get involved at some point in this match. But yeah, in the end, I think Jericho will walk away the victor.
I hope so, man. I really do. Jericho versus MJF. We both have Jericho winning. Paul White. Well, it's Paul White. He's going to wrestle QT Marshall. The Big Show. Chokeslam City, baby. Chokeslam 1, 2, 3. Big Show wins. Easy, quick match, under 3 minutes. Goldberg style. Except Big Show won't be gassed out. He'll be all right.
Well, it's just going to be interesting to see, like, yeah, again, how long this match is going to be and what he actually does in this match. Because it feels like he has a hard time moving around at times. So I'm interested to see how he will be in an actual match.
I'm excited to see him. I love that guy. He's the best. Big Show. How can you not love Big Show? I'm happy that AEW is putting him in his first match on their pay-per-view. They're treating him with respect, and I appreciate that. They treat their legends with respect, and that's it's nice to see. Big Show's going to come in, get a win over QT. QT's going to bump for him. How it should be. Big Show's a goddamn legend. John Moxley taking on another legend, Satoshi Kojima. Japanese wrestling legend. Johnny North is not too familiar with him. The guy's been around for a while. Kojima is 50 years old. He's been all around the world and mostly been wrestling in New Japan for the past several years. And he will be wrestling John Moxley in a match at All Out. That Kojima will definitely lose. Moxley is for sure beating Kojima. It would be a shock. I mean, you want to talk about lock of the night. Moxley is 100% beating Satoshi Kojima. Kojima is not a big star in New Japan. We thought that this was going to be Tanahashi. Apparently, Moxley is going to call out Tanahashi after he beats Kojima. We're still building towards Moxley versus Tanahashi, apparently. That would be a much bigger match. Hiroshi Tanahashi is a big star in New Japan. He is the ace of the universe. He is the man. He is a once-in-a-generation talent. He's got beautiful hair. He's just a magnificent pro wrestler. He's one of the greatest of all time, Hiroshi Tanahashi. And I hope that Jon Moxley gets to wrestle him in AEW. I hope that AEW gets to see Tanahashi. I hope that the AEW audience that may not be familiar with Hiroshi Tanahashi becomes more familiar with the greatness that is Hiroshi Tanahashi. I think a lot of people have heard the name Tanahashi, but do not know how good or how just impressive he is. The look, the wrestling, the toughness, the way he carries himself, everything about Tanahashi is world-class A1 professional wrestler. Top of the line, top talent, has been there and done that with everybody in the wrestling business. He is a legend. He's the type of guy that could never wrestle a match in WWE, but the WWE will put him in their Hall of Fame one day because he's that type of talent. The ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I could just keep putting Tanahashi over, you know, all night, John, but, you know. Like, you haven't seen that much of Tanahashi. I would like to see him get a run in the United States so American wrestling fans, North American wrestling fans, people that don't watch New Japan can understand what I understand about Tanahashi. That he is the fucking man. And he's beautiful. He's also beautiful. I mean, you can't deny. The guy is super handsome. Awesome hair. Fantastic. And he's got a movie, too. My dad is a heel wrestler, and he plays the dad in the movie. And it was very good. It's one of the best wrestling-based movies I have ever seen. I loved it. In Japanese, watch it with subtitles. It was on New Japan World. Tremendous. He's an actor, wrestler. He does it all. He's one of the best air guitar players in the world. I mean, Tanahashi is the man. Go Ace. I'll stop.
Well, that's great, but that's not on the pay-per-view. And that's probably the biggest problem of this pay-per-view. Is the fact that there's too many of these matches where it's like, well, it's a little too obvious who's going to win in many of these matches.
Yeah.
If you had Tanahashi, then yeah, then it's very interesting. Who's going to win that one?
I go on and on about Tanahashi. You go, that's great, but he's not on the pay-per-view, so fuck you. Fucking John.
I think you threw in the FU as
no,
a
no,
bit
you said
extra
it.
There.
No, you definitely said it. You said it, John. Don't deny it. I heard you.
Dreams.
All right. Well, Moxley for sure wins, but how about some matches where, or here's one match I don't know who's going to win, okay? One match. A lot of people in this match. It's a 21-woman casino battle royal for an AEW Women's World title shot. I'm going to read to you the names that are in this match. Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa, The Bunny, Big Swole, Julia Hart, Ty Conti, Diamante, Penelope Ford, Red Velvet, Hikaru Shida, Emi Sakura, Jade Cargill, Kira Hogan, Abaddon, Layla Hirsch, Kylan King, Rebel, Jamie Hayter, Anna Jay, Riho, and Sky Blue? Who the
imagine
fuck is Sky Blue?
She wrestles in NWA.
Okay.
I think she might be like a protege of Thunder Rosa, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Well, that's something. And there's also a couple people that are not official in the match. Oh, wait, one person. Aw, damn. I thought we were going to get both Iconics. Apparently, there's only one spot in the match. I just give you 20 people? It's a 21-person battle royal, 21-woman battle royal. And there's one mystery woman. Who could the mystery be? Is it going to be somebody we give a shit about, or?
I think it's going to be Ruby Riott, more than likely.
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to, what's her name there? She had a bunch of heat.
Sarah Logan?
No. Blanchard.
Oh, well.
Tessa Blanchard.
I believe
she had a gang of heat, but she was good, man. You know? She's talented.
Yeah, but that's a lot of heat, man. That's heat that doesn't really go away too much.
It's too much heat? Too much heat in the business? Is that what happened? Too much heat for Tessa? That's too bad, man. She was like, she was the Impact World Champion at one point. The man's champion.
Yeah. But that's also Impact doing that, and she also walked away from that as well, so.
Yeah. I guess it won't be her. Ruby Riott makes sense, I guess.
You have to understand, too, this prize probably isn't going to win, right? So usually what happens, that's why you get like a Leo Rush kind of surprise kind of thing. You know, it's a name, but it's not going to be a, you know, name that's going to change the business.
I think Thunder Rosa wins, and then she gets a shot at Britt Baker.
You said you didn't know it was going to win? Like, yeah, there you go. I mean, it's kind of, again, somewhat obvious here, too.
I guess.
Maybe not like clear lock, but
yeah,
Thunder
that's
Rosa,
it.
I think...
It might be Thunder Rosa. Yeah, I agree with you, but it could be anybody, really. It could be Ty Conti. It could be Julia Hart, for all we know. It'll be a babyface, though. It won't be a heel. Yeah, probably not Julia Hart. But who knows? I mean, if it is Julia Hart, she gets lucky, she wins, then it makes Britt more of a heel when she beats the shit out of her and mocks her for even trying, you know? Just saying, it could work. There are ways to make a lot of things work. Doug Hepburn saying, dropping a super chat. And now Doug and Angelo, both the leaders of the night. Thank you, Doug. He says, you guys enjoyed the break. Well deserved. Great work tonight. Thank you, Doug. And he's also asking, doesn't a new season of Dark Side of the Ring come out soon? I think it does. I don't know when, though.
I think the 14th or something like that.
Oh, damn. Already? 14th of this month, September?
Maybe it comes out earlier.
Well, I'll be watching that. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. We all like Dark Side of the Ring here. One more match to preview as we wrap up the All Out preview. Best Friends. It's a 10-man tag team match. The Best Friends. Orange, Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Wheeler Utah. Wheeler. They team with the Jungle Boy and the Luchasaurus. And they will take on the Hardy Family Office, which is Matt Hardy, Private Party, which is Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn, and Angelico and Jack Evans. This is the pre-show match, the buy-in. Who cares? I say baby faces go over, but really, who cares? I kind of want Matt Hardy to win because I like Matt Hardy. I feel like Matt Hardy was one of the most over guys in pro wrestling a few years ago, and every wrestling company that's got him is just like, nah. WWE's like, nah. And even AEW, like at a time, Matt Hardy, Sammy Guevara, there was shit happening, and now he's got this Hardy Family Office, and it just stuck him with a bunch of jabronis. You know? Let's be honest. Like, Matt Hardy has a team with fucking TH2 and the Private Party. Like, these guys. No one gives a shit about these guys, and they're dragging Matt Hardy down. That's what I feel. Every time I see Matt Hardy, I'm like, oh, cool, Matt Hardy. And his group of fucking jabronis. Nameless, faceless jabronis. They have no personality. I don't know what Jack Evans sounds like. I don't know if Angelico even talks. The Private Party guys used to cut promos, but they weren't that good, so they don't talk as much now. They're just kind of like Matt Hardy goons. The Butcher or the Blade or whatever he is, he never talks. They're just random goons thrown in there to be with Matt Hardy. I don't like the Hardy Family Office, but I really like Matt Hardy, so I'm torn, you know? Doesn't his group suck, John? I know you like Jack Evans. You're like a big mark for him for some reason, but come on, man. Matt Hardy's sitting there with a bunch of jabronis. No offense.
Well, it's Matt Hardy's own fault, like... He was one of the most over babyfaces AEW had last year. And he decided, oh, he wanted to be a heel because he wanted to face all these faces instead. So they shifted everything around to make that happen. But that kind of killed his momentum quite a bit because people didn't want to boo Matt Hardy. They wanted to cheer him. They keep wanting to do delete all the time, but he's not letting people do that so much. So it's unfortunate.
He wanted to turn heel? This wasn't an AEW thing?
Because the people he talked about it in an interview. I think it was on the Unrestricted, if I'm not mistaken. He wanted to face guys like Hangman Page. He wanted to face like Cody. You know, he wanted to face guys that, you know, that were faces pretty much. And I get it. Like, when you look at it, the face-wise, like, it was kind of like it was heavily stacked. So I think he looked at it like that. It's like, well, the match would be better here because there's really no heels. So like, it made a lot of sense in that way, but like he was the wrong guy to do it because people loved him a lot too much. So
yeah, I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know why they decided to go along with Matt Hardy's idea because it's I don't know. I don't like the Hardy family office. And look, he's on the pre-show. If this worked, I mean, you would be on the pay-per-view, but you're on the buy-in in a 10-man tag. You're in the same match as Wheeler Yuta. I mean, come on. You know? Angelo Contagonis dropped in the super chat. I think it was to take the lead. He says, have a great vacation, Dave. Enjoy it, my man. But then Doug Hepburn dropped in a super chat, talking shit. He goes, Angelo, get back to work. Angelo usually is the super chat leader every time we do it. Doug tied him, and then Angelo dropped a little 279 to take the lead, and then Doug matches him with the 279 and talks trash on his way out as well. So we are tied once again. I don't know if we're going to do a final battle here before vacation time. We are shutting the lights out. We're going on vacation. I'm gone. Johnny's going to take a break. I'm going. But we'll be back. All right? We will be back better than ever. I have a knack for making things better. Face the facts. He's a maniac who stepped on whoever. Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back Sunday.
I know, but you know what song I was doing, right? Eric Bischoff.
Is commissioner or GM
I'm
thing?
I'm back and better than ever. What a theme song. Classic Bischoff. So good. All right. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, leave a comment on this video. Help us out. Subscribe, like the video. It helps us out with the algorithms. People get to see the show and things happen for the Ringside Report Network. Okay? Don't forget. I am going. We're going. It's vacation time. We will be back here on the Ringside Report Network on the 17th of September. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, we're back, and then we'll be back in full effect. We'll be back every Friday night after SmackDown. We'll be back doing the post-Raw show. We'll be back doing the post-Dynamite show. We'll be back doing the post-pay-per-view shows. For WWE, we'll be on after Extreme Rules at the end of the month. We'll be on for a watch-along. Holy shit, that's going to be a busy week because the UFC 266 watch-along is on September 25th. And then on the 26th, it'll be Extreme Rules for a post-show. So it'll be very, very busy that weekend. So I'm going to need a vacation because we're going to come back and be super busy here on the Ringside Report Network. And we'll be back to doing the MMA shows Thursday night at 8 p.m. and all that stuff. So we are off on vacation until the 17th of September here on the Ringside Report Network. And that's it. Okay? AJ is crazy. I agree. All right. Johnny, thank you. I will see you again soon. And everybody else, thank you. Thank you to Doug Hepburn. Thank you to Angelo Contagonis. You guys are the Super Chat leaders tonight, co-leaders. Both champions, thank you very much. Shout out to Derek John, member of the team. Saw him in the chat earlier. Saw Franco316, member of the team as well. Patrick C. Hamilton, always checking in. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you to everybody checking in, all the members of the Ringside Report Network. We appreciate you, And that's it. You guys are keeping us alive, and we'll be back here when I'm back in 2 weeks' time. Enjoy All Out. Follow me on Twitter at DaveSimonMMA, on Instagram at DaveSimonMMA. I'll be posting on vacation so you can get some thoughts there. Okay? Okay? We'll see you again on the 17th of September.